Let's go back to Revelation 19.
Turudi Ufunuo 19.
Now we have spoken about where our journey is heading us to.
Tumeonena kuhusu hatima ya safari yetu.
Now it's very easy to talk about the what needs to be accomplished, what needs to be done.
Na ni rahisi kuongelea kile ambacho unatarajia ifanyike au kile unatarajia itimilike.
But let's talk about how.
Lakini sasa tuongelee namna.
How can we be a part of this thing that God will do through his bride?
Yeah, namna gani tunaweza tukafanyika sehemu ya hili jambo hili ambalo Bwana anatenda kupitia bibi harusi wake?
Because there are still a number of things we need to overcome in our daily lives.
Kwa maana kuna bado baadhi ya mambo ambayo lazima tuyashinde katika maisha yetu ya.
And sometimes when we speak about these things,
na wakati mwingine tunaponena kuhusu haya mambo,
it may give a thought in someone like, am I able to live a life like that?
Inaweza ikafa mtu wazo ambaye kuiwaza kwamba je, naweza nikaishi maisha aina hiyo?
Well, let's see how possible it is.
Vema, tuone jinsi hiyo maisha inawezekana.
Now I want us to start from Revelation 19 verse 8.
Ningependa tuanzie Ufunuo 19 mstari wa 8.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen.
Naye amepewa kuvikwa kitani nzuri.
Clean and white.
Ing'arayo safi.
For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Kwa maana kitani nzuri hiyo ni matendo ya haki ya watakatifu.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Bwana abariki usomaji wa neno lake. Amina.
You may sit. Now, the first important thing I want us to notice in this is is that to her was granted.
Kwamba kwake alipewa, alitunukiwa, alipewa.
I want us to be aware that there are many Christians who really desire to fulfill righteousness.
Ningependa kuwakumbusha kwamba kuna Wakristo wengi ambao wana shauku ya kuweza kutimiza haki.
When you look at Jehovah Witnesses,
ukitazama Jehovah Witness,
they're very committed.
Wamejitoa kweli kweli.
They don't do what they do to be bad people. They
hawafanyi wanayofanya ili wawe watu wabaya.
They have a version of their doctrines on what perfection constitutes.
Wako na kanuni ya mafundisho yao kuhusu ukamilifu ni nini.
Pentecostals,
wa Pentecote,
I can guarantee you, you go to the mountains, there are many of them who pray and fast trying to attain holiness.
Naweza nikakuhakikishia kwamba ukienda milimani utapata wengi wao wakifunga na kuomba wakijaribu kufikia ukamilifu.
But
lakini
we're not speaking about something that you can achieve within your human means.
Atuongelee kitu ambayo unaweza ukaiwahi kwa juhudi zako za kibinadamu.
What really is the message?
Je, ujumbe hasa ni nini?
We were having a chat with Brother Kimani.
Tulikuwa tukiongea na ndugu Kimani.
And you know, sometimes we may think the message means,
na wakati mwingine tunaweza tukawazia ujumbe inamaanisha
wearing a long dress.
Kuvaa rinda refu.
A message means,
ujumbe inamaanisha
reading a spoken word book.
Kusoma kitabu cha neno lilonenwa.
And so what does a young man do?
Na kwa hivyo kijana anafanya nini?
Okay, if I can find a girl who wears a long dress who can start reading message books.
Kama naweza nikapata msichana anayevaa rinda refu na pia anasoma
natural hair
ya ujumbe ina nywele ya kiasili tu.
Yeah, then she's a believer.
But huyo ni muamini.
It's not like that.
Sio hivyo.
Because
kwa sababu,
if what will take us in the rapture is wearing long things, then Muslims are candidates for the rapture.
Kama kuenda unyakuzi itakarimu tu kuvaa manguo marefu, hata Waislamu watakuwa katika unyakuzi.
They do it better. They don't just cover themselves, they cover including their faces.
Na hawa na kwa sababu hawa wanafanya bora zaidi kwa sababu hawajiviki tu wanavika mpaka nyuso zao.
Well, that is religion.
Lakini sasa hiyo ni dini.
Religion is an effort to please God through the works you are trying to do.
Dini ni kujaribu kumpendeza Mungu kwa juhudi za kazi unazozitenda.
But do you know why these cast their crowns to the Christ?
Lakini unajua kwa nini hao wanatupa taji yao kwa Kristo?
This is what Paul said.
Even Diogo Paulo alivyosema.
It is no longer I that liveth.
Sio mimi ambaye naishi.
But Christ liveth in me.
Bali Kristo anaishi ndani yangu.
Now look at the bride of Christ.
Kwa hivyo tazama bibi harusi wa
Kristo. To her was granted.
Kwake ilipewa.
That she should be arrayed in fine linen.
Kuvikwa kitani nzuri.
For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Kwa maana hiyo kitani nzuri ni haki ya watakatifu.
As John continued to see the vision,
Yohana alipoendelea kuona lile ono,
suddenly it changed.
Ikabadilika ghafla.
In verse 11, he sees heaven opens.
Mstari wa 11 anaona mbingu imefunguka.
Whom does he see? He sees one sitting riding on a horse.
Na anaona nini? Anaona mmoja ambaye amekaa juu ya farasi.
In verse 14, he sees an army following him.
Na katika mstari wa 14 anaona jeshi likimfuata.
What is this army?
Na hii jeshi ni ipi?
Remember we said, when God is giving a vision,
na kumbuka tulisema, Mungu akipeana ono,
whatever detail he uses, it is now to convey another message.
Chochote anachotumia katika hiyo ono, ili kuleta ujumbe fulani.
What is this army?
Na hii majeshi ni ipi?
Verse 14, let us read.
Mstari wa 14 na tusome.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. What are they clothed with?
White.
Clothed in fine linen. We know who they are.
Na majeshi yaliyo mbinguni wakamfuata wamepanda farasi weupe na kuvikwa kitani nzuri.
Do you see it is the same element we are just from reading verses earlier?
Je, unaona tu ya kuwa ni jambo lile lile ambayo tumesoma katika mistari hapo awali?
To the bride was given fine linen.
Kwa bibi harusi alipewa kitani nzuri.
The next thing we see the bridegroom coming.
Kisha tunaona bwana harusi akija.
Riding on horses.
Akipanda farasi.
And they are called the army this time.
Na sasa hao bibi harusi sasa sahi wanaitwa.
Who are they?
Jeshi. Ni nani hao?
They are riding on white horses.
Wanaendesha farasi weupe.
Do you realize that even him, the Christ in verse 11, is riding on a white horse?
Na hata yeye Kristo, hata yeye katika mstari wa 11 amepanda farasi mweupe.
Can you see that the seed which was sown has grown and multiplied many seeds?
Je, unaona kwamba ile mbegu iliyopandwa imekuwa ilikufa na ikajumlisha mbegu nyingi zaidi?
Because the army also they are riding on white horses.
Kwa sababu pia na jeshi pia nao wamepanda farasi weupe.
What are they clothed with?
Na wamevikwa nini?
Fine linen, white and clean.
Nyeupe na safi.
Amen.
Now,
na sasa
more descriptions are given.
Na maelezo zaidi inapeanwa.
Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword.
Kutoka kinywa chake kunatoka upanga mkali.
That with it he should smite the nations.
Ili awapige mataifa kwa huo upanga.
Listen to the next words which follow.
Alafu sikia maneno ambayo atafuta.
Let us read them.
Na tuyasome.
And he shall rule them with what? A rod of iron.
Naye atawachunga kwa fimbo ya chuma.
Ruling with a rod of iron.
Yani kutawala kwa fimbo ya chuma.
That is tough rule.
Hiyo ni kutawala mkali.
You've heard saying all. Oh, he rules with an iron hand.
No, umesikia watu wakisema huyo anatawala kwa mkono wa chuma.
Whenever something is pictured to rule with a rod.
Chochote ambacho kikionyeshwa kwamba kinatawala kwa fimbo.
A rod stands for correction.
Fimbo inasimamia marekebisho.
A rod is not something for excitement.
Yaani fimbo sio kitu ya kuifurahia.
A rod is a rod of correction.
Yaani fimbo ni fimbo ya kurekebisha.
So he is coming to rule over the nations.
Kwa hivyo anakuja kutawala mataifa.
But do you realize that he is coming with a rod of iron?
Lakini je, unatambua kwamba anakuja na fimbo ya chuma?
That is how Christ will rule.
Na hivyo ndivyo Kristo atatawala.
Whom is he going to rule?
Atatawala nani?
Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. What's the name?
King of Kings.
And so if he
katika lake mfalme wa falme na bwana wa mabwana,
if he is King of Kings,
kwa hivyo kama ni mfalme wa wafalme,
who are the kings?
Hao wafalme ni akina nani?
You will be the kings.
Where nyinyi ndio mtakuwa hao wafalme.
Raised
ambao wameinuliwa
to a level to rule with him.
Katika kiwango ya kuweza kutawala pamoja naye.
Now that means you need to live as he lived.
Kwa hivyo inamaanisha lazima uishi jinsi aliishi.
You need to judge as he judged.
Na kuamua kufanya maamuzi kuhukumu jinsi alivyohukumu.
That is why he was the firstborn among many brethren.
Ndio maana alikuwa mzaliwa kwanza miongoni mwa ndugu wengi.
But notice,
lakini tazama,
he is not coming to rule with grace, for lack of a better term.
Lakini utazama haji kutawala kwa neema.
He is coming to rule with a rod of iron.
Bali anakuja kutawala kwa fimbo ya chuma.
Let's see another place where this rod is spoken of.
Hebu tutazame pale pengine ambapo fimbo hii imenenwa.
Sometimes I may take a while to look for something because I didn't pen down these things. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 2.
Twende Isaiah 2.
Isaiah, he's given a prophecy.
Isaiah anapewa unabii.
On how the Christ shall rule in that 1,000 years.
Jinsi Kristo atakavyotawala katika hiyo miaka 1,000.
Verse 2. Isaiah 2 verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto.
Na itakuwa siku za mwisho mlima wa nyumba ya Bwana utawekwa imara juu ya milima, nao utainuliwa juu ya vilima, na mataifa yote watauendea makundi makundi.
How many nations?
Mataifa mangapi?
How many nations?
Mataifa yote.
All nations.
Mataifa yote.
Remember, the leaves of the tree of life will be for the healing of the.
Kumbuka majani ya ule mti ni kwa ajili ya uponyaji wa kila taifa.
So now we see here.
Kwa hivyo unaona hapa.
How all nations.
Jinsi mataifa yote.
Shall look to Mount Zion.
Yatatazama mlima Zion.
Verse 3.
Tazama mstari wa.
Shall we read? And many people shall go and say, come here, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Out of Zion will go forth the law.
Yani kutoka Zayuni sheria itaenda.
Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations.
Naye atafanya hukumu katika mataifa.
And shall do what?
Atawakemea.
Will he give them encouragement therapy? Is that what will be going on? Will it be a motivation on how you can make it big and how you can succeed in life? He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares.
Nao watafua panga zao ziwe majembe.
And their spears into pruning hooks.
Na mikuki yao iwe miundu.
Nation shall not lift up sword against nation.
Taifa halita inua upanga juu ya taifa lingine.
Neither shall they learn war anymore.
Wala hawatajifunza vita tena kamwe.
Friends, the millennial reign.
Marafiki, iyo milki ya miaka 1,000
is a period of 1,000 years of regenerating the mind of man.
Ni muda wa miaka 1,000 ya kufanywa upya nia mwanadamu.
It's a people who are not perfect.
Ni watu ambao sio wakamilifu.
Someone can say, well, but the devil will be tied up.
Na mtu anaweza kusema, lakini shetani atakuwa.
So why will people be doing wrong things? Hey, you think doing a wrong thing is always the devil telling you to do a wrong thing? A question I'll ask you is this. The first wrong thing which was ever done before there was a devil, when there was only Lucifer, which demon influenced him into that? There was no devil, right? There was no demon, isn't
there?
So, who made the devil do a wrong thing? You see, many times people love to accuse the devil. Sometimes when someone says it's the devil who made do that, the devil says, hey, me. There's what is called choice. How did Lucifer do a wrong thing? He deceived himself. You can make a right decision, you can make a wrong decision. Amen. It's like a young man and a woman. They know they're not married. Or you're a married man. Maybe you work in an office environment where there is a married woman. Every day you are together. Going for lunch, you're going together. Look here. I don't need to be a prophet to tell you there will be an attraction which will form.
Mimi sihitaji kuwa nabii ni kuambie kwamba kutakuwa na mvutano, kutakuwa na kuvutia katikati yenu nyinyi wawili.
It's a principle of nature. The north pole of a magnet will attract to the south pole of a magnet.
Ni kanuni ya maumbile ya kwamba north pole itataka kukaribia south pole.
You don't start binding the magnetism force. You say I bind you, it shouldn't. No.
Hautasema nafunga hii nguvu ya kutu ya kuvutana, hapana, hautafanya hivyo. Hiyo sio maombi.
That is why Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was trying to make those advances, he didn't start praying in tongues and binding devils. He ran away. When a young lady and a young man, if you start becoming close, your emotions will start reacting.
Kwa hivyo vijana wa kiume na wa kike mkikaribiana hisia zenu zitaanza kuwavutia.
The devil will only take advantage of your ignorance and your stupidity.
Yaani shetani tu atakuja tu pale kuchukua fursa kwa ajili ya upuzi wenu na upumbavu.
That is why among the things a believer should have is self-control.
Kwa hivyo ndio maana miongoni mwa vitu ambavyo muamini anapaswa kuwa nayo ni kujidhibiti mwenyewe.
Amen. The other day I was feeding my dogs.
Siku ile nyingine nilikuwa nikilisha mbwa zangu.
And there are these treats we buy to give them.
Na kuna hizi vichakula ambavyo.
And they love that.
Na wanazipenda.
So whenever the plate is full,
kwa hivyo wakati wote ambapo sahani imejaa,
they eat nicely together, very friendly.
Wanakula bila kubishana kabisa, wakipendana kwa urafiki.
So I told my wife, I've discovered a theory.
Nikamwambia mke wangu nimetambua kitu fulani.
Come you see it in practice.
Kuja uione ikitendeka.
When the meal is full, there's peace, there's joy.
Wakati chakula kimejaa kwa sahani kuna furaha.
As the food begins to reduce.
Lakini hiyo chakula ikiendelea kuteremka chini.
You know what I start doing? As it gets little, they begin to fight. You really think there is a devil causing that? When there is much, people live in peace. As resources begin to deplete, enmity starts. Wars.
Vita.
And all that. The devil only exploits a situation which has happened. Is that right? If every time you Don't give something to your wife and help her here, there. And resources are not well managed in a home. Tension builds. Moods start. Hey, don't go to the pastor and say, there is a demon of anger in my house. Just discern the situation. What are you not doing? What has led to this? My people perish for lack of knowledge. And until we discover what is the problem, there won't be recovery of a situation. Now, during the 1,000 years, Satan is arrested.
But
that does not mean people's culture has changed automatically. No. They are still the same people who lived in this corrupt world. Their mindset has been shaped in a certain way by cultural orientations of different nations they came from. Now let me show you something. It usually excites the Seventh-day Adventists. Do you know that in the millennium, things like the Sabbath, they'll play back again? I'll say it again. In the millennium, things you read in the Mosaic Law, they'll play back. Let's read some scriptures. Let's see if it's Isaiah 66, verse
23. Isaiah 66,
23. Isaiah 66, verse
23.
It speaks about what will be happening in the millennium. Shall we read? Okay, let us start from verse
22.
Shall we read?
Tusome.
For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And, shall we read now, all together? And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Did you hear that?
Je, ulisikia hiyo? Na itakuwa mwezi mpya hata mwezi mpya, na sabato hata sabato, wanadamu wote watakuja kuabudu mbele zangu, asema Bwana.
You can read many prophecies which speak about the age of regeneration. And it tells you a lion and a lamb will eat together. If a lion and a lamb will eat together, will we be eating lambs? Will we be eating beef? We?
No.
It paints a picture of the restoration of life in Eden. But then what do we make of these things? Oh, does it mean believers need to keep the Sabbath day holy? Does it mean I should stop eating meat? No. Why does prophecy say, out of Zion the law will go forth? That's the millennium. Why will God use the law? And he says he will rebuke many. God doesn't teach his bride by giving them a list of do's and don'ts.
Mungu hafundishi bibi harusi wake kwa kumpa orodha ya kufanya hii na kutofanya hii.
Let's go to Genesis.
Twende Mwanzo.
Remember, we want to understand,
kumbuka,
how can I overcome and be part of the rapture? We are looking at the how.
Kuelewa jinsi nitakavyoweza kushinda niwe na niwe sehemu ya unyakuzi.
Let us go to Genesis chapter 6.
Tuende Mwanzo Mwanzo 6.
Verse 1.
Mstari wa kwanza.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them.
Ikawa wanadamu walipoanza kuzidi usoni pa nchi na wana wa kike walizaliwa kwao.
Here's a question.
Hapa kuna swali.
In the beginning God told Adam and Eve, multiply.
Hapo mwanzo Mungu aliambia Adamu na Hawa jumlisheni.
Is that correct?
Je, hiyo ni kweli?
And here we read that men began
multiplying.
Were they not multiplying in the other chapters of Genesis?
Na hapa tunasoma kwamba wanadamu walianza kuongezeka kuzidi. Je, hawakuwa wanaongezeka katika hapo awali?
I can rest assure you.
Naweza nikakuhakikishia kama
if you went to these people of Genesis chapter 6.
Kama ungeenda kwa hao watu wa Mwanzo 6
and you ask them, "Why are you multiplying?"
Na uwaulize, "Kwa nini mnazidi kuongezeka?"
If you walked in a church service and they're doing a wedding.
Na ungeingia katika kanisa na wanafanya harusi.
If you ask them, "Why are you doing this?"
Na uwaulize, "Mbona mnafanya hii?"
They'll certainly think something wrong with you.
Na watafikiria
they'll tell you, "Are you the only Jew you know in Jerusalem? Don't you know God said multiply?"
Na watauliza, "Je, ni wewe mkeni pekee ambaye hujui kwamba Mungu alisema jumlisheni zaidi?"
Remember what we said in the morning.
Kumbuka tulichosema
asubuhi. What God creates, he gives it knowledge.
Chochote Mungu
and discernment.
Anaipa maarifa na upambanuzi.
Sons of God do not obey scripture by copy and paste.
Wana wa Mungu hawatii maandiko kwa kujaribu kuiga mwingine.
God said multiply, so I think let me fulfill the scripture. Let me multiply.
Mungu alisema nizae, so kwa hivyo wacha nizae ili nitii amri.
These men began to multiply.
Hao watu walianza kuongezeka.
Why began to multiply?
Kwa nini mbona wakaanza kuongezeka?
There's something different about their multiplication.
Kuna kitu tofauti kuhusiana na kuongezeka.
In the beginning God desired the image, his image, to multiply.
Mungu anataka sura yake ndio izae.
See, if I give you this paper and I say photocopy it in the photocopier machine.
Nikikupa hii karatasi na nikwambia ipige chapa katika mashine ya kupiga.
As you photocopy, you are multiplying.
Wakati unaipiga chapa, wewe unaizidisha.
If a thief comes, as you look away, he puts another paper there.
Mwizi akija wakati unatazama kwingine aweke karatasi nyingine pale.
And you've kept on photocopying.
Na umeendelea tu ukipiga chapa.
And someone tells you are making a wrong copy.
Na mtu akwambie wewe unapiga chapa iliyo.
How do you correct it?
Unairekebisha.
You say, "Oh, let me produce more."
Je, utasema acha nirekebishe kwa kuunda chapa nyingi zaidi?
Multiplying more does not make you any closer to fulfilling the right thing. Yeah.
Kuongeza zaidi haitakuleta karibu kwa njia yoyote na kutimiza
kinacho. So, it's not the word multiply that constitutes obeying God.
Kwa hivyo sio hilo neno la kujumlisha ndio inabeba hiyo uwezo wa kuweza kumtii Mungu.
It's a question of what are you multiplying?
Ni swali ni je, unajumlisha nini?
So what were these people multiplying?
Je, hao watu walikuwa wakijumlisha nini?
See what happened?
Ona lilotokea.
They began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them.
Walizidi usoni pa nchi na wanawake walizaliwa kwao.
That the sons of God saw that the daughters of God, daughters of
now, wana wa Mungu waliona hao binti za wanadamu.
We are taught something here.
Hapa tunaambiwa kitu.
Sons of God,
wana wa Mungu,
daughters of men,
binti za wanadamu.
Why such a distinction in language?
Mbona kuwatofautisha hivi katika lugha?
Now remember what Paul rebuked the Corinthian church. You know, the Corinthian church was more like the condition in the end time message. Us were for Paul. Us were for Apollos. Us were for Ewart
Frank.
Us were for Raymond Jackson. Oliver. Well, Paul was bold enough. He was never entertained by the group which was saying we are for Paul. He said, "Why walk ye as..." Let me see those who read the Bible. He says, "Why walk ye as..." Hello? "Why walk ye as..."
Men.
Let's read it.
Do you saw me?
That should be in Corinthians.
Iyo ni katika wa Korintho.
Should be 1 Corinthians 3.
Tatu.
Let's go 1 Corinthians 3. Please Corinthians put something in Genesis.
Bado shikilia ile mwanzo.
Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3.
Tatu mstari wa tatu.
Let us all read.
Tuisome wote.
Let us all read. "For ye are yet..." "For whereas there is among you..." And does that sound like the entire message? "Are ye not..." "And walk as..." Is Paul writing this letter to men? His language is very controversial here. "Are you not carnal and workers?"
So
God does not expect of us to live as men. What is wrong with that? Because you need to know the church of the living God is fulfilling the objective and agenda God had in Genesis.
Kwa sababu kanisa la Mungu aishie linatimiza lile lengo na azimio la Mungu ambaye aliitaka pale mwanzo.
To produce a family of sons of...
Yani kuzaa familia ya wana wa Mungu.
Even all creation...
Hata viumbe vyote...
It is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why is it waiting? Because that is what creation was promised in the beginning. Remember the thing we drew yesterday? All creation. On top there, there is man.
Yuko mwanadamu.
Man was supposed to be ruled by God. But what happened? This whole creation, when the free will of man was messed up here, all creation is in problems. Man has done all he can to destroy this world. Let's look at an example of broiler chickens. Do you have them here?
Yes.
In Zambia, I believe we have a lot of them more than here. Now, when you look at a broiler chicken, the poor thing doesn't know it's mama or papa. How long does it take for it to grow? 4 to 5 weeks, right? Or to 6 weeks. How long does a normal chicken take to grow and reach maturity?
6 months.
Yeah, it has to be 6 months, right?
Yani, 6 months.
Now, man discovers that, oh, people love chickens. You think a businessman will wait for 6 months before he sells the next batch?
No.
So a man goes in the laboratory. What does he do? Works on the genes of this thing. Creates feed that can respond to those genetics. In 5 weeks, the poor thing has grown big. But look at it closely. You know they look clean and nice. Do you know that? They look white as though they are righteous. They look very clean. And I believe they feel good. They feel you care for them when you give them feed. Now, go in there.
Lakini sasa ingia pale
and shout loud.
Now upige upaze sauti kabisa.
Go where they keep them.
Upale ambapo zimetunzwa.
And just say hallelujah.
Na useme hallelujah.
They will all faint because of hypertension.
Zote zitazimia kwa sababu ya shinikizo la damu.
They are very delicate.
Yani ni sana. Ni dhaifu kabisa.
When you buy them from the hatchery,
ukizinunua kutoka pale ambapo zinazalishwa,
they are very delicate.
Yani ni dhaifu mno.
When you make them reach the pottery,
ukifika pale pa kuzihifadhi,
they say always give them stress pack.
Yes. Wanasema kila wakati hakikisha umewapa stress pack.
Stress. You make them drink something to relieve the stress.
Yani kitu dawa ya kuweza kuwapea nafuu kutokana na msongo wa mawazo.
That is true.
Hiyo ni kweli.
You make them drink stress pack.
Yani unawapa dawa ya kuwasaidia.
Anyone who has raised broiler chickens here?
Yeyote hapa ashawahi kufuga broiler?
Anyone who has raised broiler chickens?
Yeyote ashawahi kufuga.
Brother Kiari, you know about these things I'm talking, right? You give them stress pack.
Yani lazima wape dawa ya stress.
So that they relieve stress. If you don't do that, they'll die.
Usipofanya hivyo watakufa stress.
And we have a lot of broiler chicken believers today. You tell them there will be a convention. The first thing is, will there be stress pack, something to eat? Make them fast one day. They will never come for another fasting. But you ask the old men here. When they received the message, let them share to you the testimonies of things they used to do. When the message came, people used to pray like Jesus is coming tomorrow.
Amen.
Brother Kiari was telling me how he would go in these open government places and preach in open space. You wanted to tell everyone about what God has done in your life. Unfortunately, the new generation, there is a disconnect between the old generation and the young ones who are coming up. They don't know what it means to cast out devils. They don't know what it means to get a Bible and go out and witness. They don't know what it means to deny food and say, I'm seeking the mind of God over this career choice I want you to go after. They don't know that. When they want to marry, they look at, is she beautiful? Is she working? Is she educated enough? That is a terrible problem. Give it 30, 40 years. If the Lord tarries, when all the generation of these men die out, we may not recognize end time message churches. We may not be able to recognize them in how they dress. What will be happening in the assemblies? The kind of songs they'll be singing. Because you can never inherit the Holy Ghost. You have to experience Him yourself. Dear parents, our prayer should be our young people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, let them be busy in the church, singing, doing all these things. But let old time prayer come back. Soul winning programs, bring them back in the church. When it's prayer and fasting, I'll be happy if a young man is in prayer and fasting to pray for a friend he has been evangelizing so that God can do a supernatural thing on that person. Why have gifts gone to sleep in the church? Gifts are not for entertainment.
No.
They are tools for service.
Yes.
So if there's a relative I have and I've been praying and I'm fasting for them, and I'm saying, Lord, please reveal yourself to that person. You try to share the word to them, and they don't seem to be responding. And you say, I'll take this in prayer and fasting. One of the days, God is going to give you a dream. One of the days, God is going to give you a vision. And you speak just the right statement, the right word to that person, which will be a word of knowledge. What are we explaining? God can never use us in anywhere where there is no burden. Why have these things taken flight? It's a carnal church we have today. You just meet for 2 hours, 3 hours service. People feel like it was a long service. What is happening? People are walking as men. But God has called us not to walk as men, but to walk as sons of God. Why sons of God? Because when God created Adam, He breathed the spirit of sonship in him. When God wanted to speak to Adam, He did not have any difficulty. He never had any problems. Adam could hear the voice of God. But let's look at chapter 6 of Genesis. What we have is people called sons of God, and other category which are just men. That was not the plan of God. To just have a bunch of people who are flesh. God wanted us to be sons of God, having a substance of His Spirit in us. Now remember, Adam was the son of God. That makes his lineage, they were sons of God. What happened? Verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Adam did not choose his wife. It is God who provided him, right? But these fellows, they were looking for who is fair, who is more beautiful, who has the right height, how is the dental formula. Very carnal people. Now, if people just chose wives, they chose. How did the children? What children were born out of that? The choosing of the women was after their will. Even the children were born after the will of the flesh. But remember what we read yesterday in John chapter 1. Those who believe in him, who were born not after the will of the flesh, but of the spirit. Now, that's a topic on its own. Let's leave it. Verse 3. Let's read what the word of God says in verse 3. Shall we read? And the Lord say, My shall not. Now, there's a problem here. When God was speaking to Adam and Eve, he never strove. They discerned the voice of God. God could speak and their spirits would respond. But something happened here. God had to strive to speak to man. When God wants to speak to Adam, he speaks to him directly. Today, God has to speak to you after similitude of things. Some of you right now, God is speaking to you. Through preaching. But even the preaching won't be enough. Maybe you have the wrong habit in your life. And God is speaking to you. He speaks. It can't reach your spirit. He has to wait for you to eat enough food and then you sleep. You slumber. And God tries to throw a message in that dream. You wake up. Oh, I had a dream. After 2-3 days, it leaves your head. Until one big problem slaps you on the face. And you come kneeling here, I want to give back my life to God. Why should the spirit strive speaking to us? Here God was striving because he was spirit. But a human being had degraded himself. He was simply flesh, the way a cow, a horse is. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. That tells you beforehand he wasn't just flesh. But God says, now I am striving. What's the reason? Because a human being has been reduced. He has reduced himself to mere flesh. And God says, let me reduce the lifespan of a man. Why? Man's life became full of vanity. Look at yourself. Every day you wake up. Rushing for work. Why are you going for work? So that you can earn a salary. Why do you want to earn a salary? So that you can buy food to eat. And as you eat, you grow. The following day, the same routine continues. Work, eat, get satisfied, go back to sleep. Is that really the whole purpose of life? People spend a lot of years trying to study to earn a promotion.
Yani watu wengi wanatumia muda mwingi sana kusoma miaka ili waweze kupandishwa cheo.
Those things are important.
Hiyo ni muhimu.
However, if they don't feed into the main purpose God created you,
lakini kama hazichangii katika ile kusudi ambayo Mungu alikuumbia,
it comes down to what Solomon said, all is vanity.
Inakuja kuwa kile Sulemani alisema kwamba yote ni ubatili.
One day I was picked up at home to go pray for someone.
Siku moja nilichukuliwa nyumbani kwangu niende kumwombea mtu.
I reached the place of the patient.
Nikafika pale ambapo yule mgonjwa.
It was such a huge big house.
Ilikuwa nyumba kubwa sana.
At first, actually, I thought it was a hospital.
Na mara kwanza hata nilifikiria ni hospitali.
With a lot of vehicles parked.
Ilikuwa na magari mingi imewekwa pale.
We proceeded in the living room.
Tukaenda katika sebuleni.
There were so many relatives.
Kulikuwa na wajamaa wengi.
Showing somber faces.
Wote wakiwa na nyuso za huzuni.
I can tell you, after that man died, I don't think the somber faces continued. Life went on.
Nikakwambia baada ya huyo mtu kukufa, nyuso hazikubaki na uzuri, lazima maisha iendelee.
Beautiful sitting room.
Ilikuwa sebule nzuri sana.
It had a little fountain on the center.
Ilikuwa na chemchemi nzuri kidogo pale katikati.
I thought, wow, whoever is the owner of this house has money.
Yeyote ambaye anamiliki hii nyumba yeye hapo
na. I was led to the bedroom.
Na nikaongozwa mpaka chumba cha kulala.
And we were standing waiting for the patient to come in.
Tulikuwa tukingoja ili yule mgonjwa letu.
We just saw the mother entering.
Tukaona mama akiingia.
Rolled the blanket.
Na akainua blanket.
The patient was there.
Kumbe mgonjwa alikuwa hapo.
But he had lost so much weight.
Lakini alikuwa amedhoofika sana.
The bed was looking flat, you know.
Mpaka hata kitanda ilikuwa inaonekana kana kwamba haina mtu.
His eyes were really bulged out like that.
Na macho yake alikuwa yameingia ndani kweli kweli.
His voice was still strong.
Na sauti yake bado ilikuwa iko.
He was having difficulties breathing.
Alikuwa na shida akipumua, akihema.
Pastor, pray for me.
Pastor, niombe.
I looked at him.
Nikamwangalia.
I saw fear.
Nikaona woga.
Pray for me.
Niombe.
The next words he said touched me.
Maneno aliyosema yaliyofuata yaliniguza.
I don't want to die.
Sitaki kufa.
When I asked who is the owner of this house, they told me he is.
Nilipouliza mwenye hii nyumba ni nani, wakasema ni yeye.
At that moment,
wakati huo,
his bank account was useless.
Hifadhi yake ya benki ilikuwa haisaidii chochote.
At that moment,
wakati huo,
whatever he may have done in life,
chochote ambacho angekuwa ameweza kufanya,
there was no one who could give him enough comfort.
Hakuna yeyote ambaye angempa faraja ya kutosha.
At that moment,
wakati huo,
no amount of money could buy life.
Hakuna kiasi cha pesa ambacho ingeweza kununua uzima.
It's at that moment,
ni wakati huo,
we realize,
ndio natambua,
there has to be something more to life than just walking in the flesh.
Lazima kuna jambo la zaidi katika maisha kuliko tu kutembea kimwili.
Because when they package you in a coffin,
kwa maana wanapomuingiza katika jeneza,
no matter how you loved your Hilux, it has no parking space in a coffin.
Hata kama ulipenda gari yako ya Hilux aje, haina nafasi ya kutosha katika jeneza.
You just lose everything in one day.
Unapoteza kila kitu kwa siku moja.
Whatever God allows us to have in this life, my brothers,
chochote Mungu anaturuhusu tuwe nayo katika maisha,
there is nothing, not a single thing that we own.
Hakuna chochote kati ya hizo ambazo ni zetu.
There's nothing you own in this life.
Hakuna chochote ambacho ni chako katika.
Not even your body.
Hata mwili wako sio yako.
Not even your breath.
Hata pumzi yako sio yako.
It never gave permission of how it entered you. It will never give permission when it will leave your body.
Haikuwa na ruhusa ili
But here are this bunch of people.
Lakini hapa kuna hao watu kikundi
hiki. They became flesh like all other animals.
Wakafanyika nyama kama wanyama wengine wote.
Now.
Nah.
When you read the next chapters.
Ukisoma sura zinazofuata.
Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Bwana akaona kuwa maovu ya mwanadamu ni makubwa duniani na kwamba kila kusudi analowaza moyoni mwake ni baya siku zote.
Now do you know animal flesh?
Je, unajua kuwa mwili wa nyama wa wanyama?
It doesn't have value like a human life.
Haina thamani kama maisha ya binadamu.
Animal flesh is just flesh. That's what it is.
Yani nyama ya mnyama ni nyama tu.
Is that right?
Yeah, ni hivyo.
When a dog forces itself on another dog, you don't say they are fornicating. No.
Wakati mbwa analazimisha mwingine uweze ukasema wanazini.
We say they are copulating for reproduction.
Tunasema hao wanajamiana kwa ajili ya uzazi.
But there is everything wrong when a human being becomes so, you know, so devastated that he can rape another human being.
Lakini kuna kosa wakati mtu anazorota sana mpaka anaweza kabaka mwingine.
When a human being can take a gun and just shoot at people.
Mwanadamu mmoja anaweza kachukua bunduki na kufyatua tu risasi akiwaua wewe.
You know America has those problems.
Unajua Marekani iko na shida hizo.
Young people, you know, he just wakes up, he starts killing people at his school.
Yaani vijana wanaamka tu na kwenda shuleni na kuua watu kadhaa.
Do you realize animals do that?
Je, unatambua kwa wanyama wafanye hivyo?
Yes. There was a time my two dogs again. A certain family in church blessed us with a chicken. They said, "Pastor, you need to start keeping chickens at home." So they brought us this chicken. It was the first time my dogs saw that chicken. I raised these dogs from the time they were small up to the time they were big. They had never seen a chicken. And I trusted them. They won't misbehave or do anything like that. Early in the morning, I just heard the poor bird crying. We rushed to check what was going on. One dog grabbed one leg. The other dog was pulling the head. And they were doing it with great pleasure. I got upset with them. When we came, you know, and I was short of what language would I use for me to tell them I'm upset with what they've done. You try to beat it, you realize it doesn't even understand why you are beating it for. You can't speak to it, it's an animal. Now, animals, when you are hungry, you can say, "Can you kill these chickens?" You make them into relish. Why? You are hungry. You want to eat. The Western countries are trying to make us feel guilty about that. They've brought in animal rights and all that. Hey, animals are animals. That is why God told Noah, "You can eat." Why? That is just flesh. But it's dangerous when a human being reduces himself to become flesh. That's a big problem. Because God is going to start telling you, "Please, don't commit murder." The spirit of man can't hear anything.
Lakini roho ya mwanadamu haisikii chochote.
God looked at the whole creation.
Akaangalia uumbaji wote.
He saw how people were killing each other. You read the history of the pagan nations, of the Gigashites, the Hittites, the Canaanites.
Historia ya ile mataifa ya kipagani ya Wagirgai na Wahivi na Wahiti waliokuwa katika nchi ya ahadi.
Read secular history.
Hebu soma historia za
They used to kill each other the way we kill mosquitoes when we spray. They had reprobate religions. They used to believe when you have a child, you sacrifice in the fire, you are giving the gods. People used to kill each other like you are killing another animal. God looked at this whole drama. When man reaches that point, that's animals you are looking at. God said, I'm bringing this to an end. He only found Noah to be righteous. You know, atheist people don't believe in God. They say, God is a cruel God. How can he kill humanity like that? The problem, you think he's looking at humanity. Read your history and you see how wicked the world had become. Let's fast forward. God says, okay, let me start a new beginning. What family will I start with? Israel. God wants to restore humanity back to the way Adam and Eve was. Is he going to do it in one day? No, he created a real world. And in a real world, learning takes time. Because these are real human beings, they have choices. So God says, okay, I'll start something. He calls a man Abraham. Leave your family. Why is the calling of Abraham beginning with the separation? Because God is starting a new thing. If Abraham is going to keep on staying with his family, he won't hear the voice of God. He will be corrupted by the ways of these people. So the first thing God does, if he has to start a new thing, he starts with a calling out. He starts a small community. And this community he makes, he puts a fence of barbed wire. They should not interact with the outside world. That's step number one. Separate. You know, even we human beings do that. When you are living in a bad neighborhood, you tell your children, don't go outside. There are bad boys out there, right? You're trying to put a fence of protection. Is that right? Number two, you create harsh laws. What's the purpose of laws? Laws are for law breakers. Because although these people God has called them out of Egypt, Egypt is still in them. 40 days after giving them 10 commandments, they tell Aaron, make us an idol.
Yani siku 40 baada ya kupewa amri 10 wanaambia Aruni tuundie sanamu.
God is giving harsh laws.
Kwa hivyo Mungu anapeana sheria kali.
Paul said laws are not made for good people. They are made for law breakers.
Na Paulo anasema sheria haiundi kwa ajili ya wenye haki. Inaundwa kwa ajili ya wale ambao wanavunja sheria.
When people are criminals and they are in a prison,
wakati watu ni wahalifu na wako
gerezani. Is anyone who is a police officer here, or you work in the military or something like that? Anyone?
Ambaye ni polisi hapa au amefanya kazi kwa jeshi?
Well, why are you afraid of those careers, people? Now, if there was an officer here, you need to ask how do they treat these criminals in jail? The convicts, the murderers, the thieves. When it's morning time, do they go and say, "Your breakfast is ready"? When it's 8 hours, we've prepared your water for bathing, please. Is that the approach? If it's 5 o'clock in the morning, they wake up on their own, because they know if they don't wake up at the right time, maybe they'll be whipped or some terrible thing will happen. It's a command culture. It's a culture of, can you stand up? All right, boss. Why do they do that? They are creating a humbling experience, right? Gradually, maybe they will become soft. It's the same approach to a young kid. There is a time when a kid won't learn by just speaking, right? Solomon says, spare not the rod. Spare the rod and spoil. Yeah, I know we have new generation of parents. No, child abuse. A child will be doing stupid things. Oh, daddy, baby, come. Why? They've taught them in psychology that, you know, you don't do that. Don't whip a child. Hey, I go by the old book. You don't have to abuse children. But there comes a point when a child needs that good whip. Why? The Bible says foolishness is trapped in the heart of a child. And a rod of correction. You see, it will correct them. It will straighten them. How many here when you were young, you were whipped by your parents? God bless your parents. Because we are living in a generation which is raising educated idiots. All they know is human rights. They can insult, they can do this and that. It's their rights. Look at the West and see problems they're dealing with. Now, look at this. It's a phase in life.
Ni hali katika maisha.
As the child is growing,
ni awamu katika maisha ambapo mtoto akikua,
it's the word which works.
Neno linasaidia.
Later on, the lessons will be in the heart.
Baadae, hayo mafunzo yatakuwa kwenye
moyo. You don't need to tell him anything.
Hautahitaji kumwambia chochote.
Why?
Kwa nini?
You need to train up your child in the way they should go so that when they grow up, they don't depart from that way, isn't it? So now God has a nation of Israel. He tells Moses, call all of them on Mount Sinai. What happens? God comes down with all the, you know, very interesting characteristics of things. The thunders, the lightnings. Hey, when they saw that, they were afraid. Right? They saw the thunderings, the lightnings. Then God gave the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. The commandments were given. Now look at it closely.
Lakini itazame kwa makini.
When the commandments were given.
Wakati amri zilipeanwa.
Do you realize God called Moses?
Unajua kwamba Mungu alimuita Musa?
Says I want these laws to be written on stones.
Na ningependa hizi amri ziandikwe kwa mawe.
Is that correct?
Yes.
What did God do?
Mungu alifanya nini?
He wrote them on the stones.
Akaziandika kwenye mawe.
I can ask you.
Na kukuuliza.
Are the Ten Commandments good?
Yeah, amri kumi ni nzuri.
Thou shalt not steal. Is that good?
Yes. Usiibe, hiyo ni nzuri.
Thou shalt not covet. Is that good?
Usizamani ya mwenzio, hiyo ni nzuri.
That is good.
Hiyo ni nzuri.
The intention is to make man stop stealing.
Na hiyo azimio ni kufanya mtu aache kuiba.
To stop murdering?
Na aache kuua.
Now just the Ten Commandments themselves tells you what kind of a culture that was.
Na hiyo amri 10 inakuelezea aina gani ya watu walikuwa wakati.
God said thou shalt not kill because there were many killers in the land.
Mungu alisema usiwe kwa maana wauaji walikuwa wengi katika
nchi. What did he say?
Na alisema nini?
You remove a tooth from your friend, a tooth shall be removed from you.
Uking'oa jino ya jirani yako, jino itang'olewa kwako.
So that when you feel the pain, you don't do it again.
Ili unaposikia hiyo uchungu uking'olewa hautawahi kufanya tena.
Was that the perfect will of God? Yes. No.
Lakini hiyo ilikuwa mapenzi makamilifu ya Mungu la.
It's not God's desire to teach people using a tough law like that.
Mungu hapendezwi kufundisha watu kutumia sheria kali.
But when you are dealing with people whose moral compass is completely ossified, that is necessary.
Lakini unapo shughulika na watu ambao hali yao ya maadili imeharibika kabisa, hiyo inahitajika.
Now let's see a mystery.
Hebu tuone hapa siri.
Let us go to Exodus.
Tuende katika Kutoka.
Let us go to Exodus,
Kutoka,
chapter 32, verse 15. Exodus 32, verse 15. I want us all to read this.
Ningependa sote tusome.
Shall we read? And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. Verse 16, shall we read? And the tables were, and the writing was there, graven upon the tables. Two things.
Mambo mawili.
The stones,
mawe,
were the work of God.
Ilikuwa kazi ya Mungu.
It's God who healed them.
Ni Mungu aliyeshika.
He made those stones.
Akayaunda yale mawe.
If they were broken from a mountain, he did it himself.
Kama yalivunjwa kutoka kwa mlima, ni yeye mwenyewe.
The stones were the work of God.
Yaani yale mawe yalikuwa kazi ya Mungu.
And the writing on them was the writing of God.
Na maandishi mle yalikuwa maandishi ya Mungu.
That is Adam.
Na huyo ni Adam.
A direct creation of God.
Yaani uumbaji wa moja kwa moja kutoka kwa Mungu.
And God wrote his word on him.
Na Mungu akaandika neno lake juu yake.
But see what happened?
Lakini unaona,
when Moses was coming down the mountain,
wakati Musa alipokuwa akishuka kutoka kwa mlima,
people were sinning.
Watu walikuwa wakitenda dhambi.
Worshipping an idol.
Wakiabudu sana.
They said, as of this Moses, we don't know where he is.
Wakasema huyu Musa hatujui penye yako.
Moses was so angry.
Na Musa akawa na hasira.
He broke the stones.
Akavunja mawe.
God was merciful.
Na Mungu akawa wa rehema.
He told Moses.
Akamwambia Musa.
Can you come?
Njoo.
I'll give you the laws again.
Nitakupea hizo sheria tena.
Chapter 34. I want to see those who are paying attention. Tell me, what is the difference in the first stones which were made and these second ones? God said,
Mungu alisema,
okay, I'll give you new ones. Exodus 34.
Kutoka 34.
Shall we read? And the Lord said, we can read better. If you feel tired, you can stand up. And let us read. And
the Lord said unto Moses, you lead into the wilderness.
What did he say? Heal thee. Meaning, make them,
yes.
And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou
breakest.
Who has noticed the difference? You raise your hand. Who has noticed the difference? Brother Kerry, what's the difference?